I just want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to come again and share His word. I want to correct a point which I shared the last time. I was talking about Gideon, that he was, you know, afraid, you know, threshing his wheat in a wine press. You know, I think the general commentary about that is that he was frightened. Actually, if you read the first verse downwards in that chapter, it's because he's aware of the Midianites, right, actually attacking them. That's why he's doing this. Not that he's a coward and doing that, right? So I want to correct that. So the general commentary actually do give a wrong opinion on that. Okay. Then I would like to also praise the Lord. I want to welcome Jonathan Chandula. You are back for a visit or working here again, or you're just come to work? Oh, okay, good. Welcome you. Yeah. And I thank the Lord for the testimonies and the sharing just now that we see. Truly, well, when we put our hearts and our lives to the Lord to serve Him, right? There's something that we all must be very careful about is the moment you make that decision to do that, I think Satan is not going to let you alone, right? So this morning, I would like to touch on this spiritual warfare, right? And maybe before we start, shall we stand and we just commit the sharing to the Lord? Father, we thank Thee, Lord. We truly thank Thee for Thy presence, O God, being with us this morning. Truly, according to Your word, where two or three are gathered in Your name, there You are in the midst. Lord, this morning, O God, I pray that You would break Thy word, O God, to our hearts, O God. I rebuke all these distractions and all these disturbances that might affect the minds of our brothers and sisters here. Lord, we like to commit each and every one of us to You, O God. This morning, O God, we claim the victory of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, Thou art still on Your throne, O God, and You are still the Almighty God. Help us to know the position that we are in and where we are, and help us to stand and fight. Lord, I commit this sharing unto You. Pray that Thou would help me, O God, and guide my thoughts. Lord, may You lead me, O God, and break down Thy word to the hearts of my brothers and sisters here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to the Bible. Let's turn our Bible to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verse 10. Reading from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. When we are fighting a spiritual warfare, the very first thing we must know is that complacency and taking light of the significance of God's Word is the first thing that we're going to pull you down away from your God. The point which I'm trying to emphasize is many a times we always think that God is the one that's doing the work. God is the beginner and the finisher of our faith. He will do it. But what is the part that we must do? We must realize that the spiritual warfare, it makes more sense also to recognize your enemy. Amen. How did the Bible explain Satan's way of attacking the power of God, the children of God? It is actually going against the spiritual authority of God. It goes down to our understanding of where did we forget, or where did we let it slip our mind that we forgot the authority of God. What we read just now was an essence of the various schemes that Satan is going to attack you, and how we as a child of God should put on that armor. But let me frankly tell you, brothers and sisters, the armor is useless, correct, if you already have a wound cut in your body and you are bleeding, and then you try to put the armor over it, right? It's useless, correct? So that injury that you have, it could be a hurt of the past, correct? It could be a grudge that you have. It could be something that's eating into you. So what is the where is the battlefield? It is actually the helmet of protection. It is the mind that is going to torture you. And that is the weapons that Satan is going to use to keep on coming back to you, keep on bringing back the past. Okay? Now, when we recognize how Satan works, and how Satan will always come by this anger, then how do we counter it? The words of mouth that you have, the voice that God gave you, right? Do you speak it, or do you give Him praise and glory? Right? So that is where we say that if you agree with the word of God, you say amen to it, correct? Or the other way to put it is, do you declare that the Lord is God, right? The Lord Jesus Christ is still God. Is He more powerful, or Satan is more powerful? Right? So, brothers and sisters, this morning I hope I can stir in you, right, to ask yourself, okay, how is your relationship with God, where you are, and how you should, you have to fight, right? Correct? You have to sit, stand, and walk. The word of God is there. In the book of Ephesians, you know that the first part, right, the first two chapters was talking about how God is actually giving us such a wonderful gift. Maybe let's go to chapter 1. Chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Read from verse 1 down, verse 3 down, sorry. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He had made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who hath worked all things after the counsel of His own will. God has truly called us. Nobody can doubt what He has done on the cross of Calvary. Right? So in each and every one, looking at the inheritance, looking at the things God given us, the wisdom, and the key is the forgiveness of sins. You know, grudge is something that cannot be overcome if you cannot forgive. Forgiveness is something which Satan will always hold it against you and bring it back to your memory to haunt you. So don't live in the past. Learn from the past and leave it behind. Why we say that is the moment we do not see the enemy and we don't guard ourselves against him, against the things that he comes, okay, it will always eat into us. And the point is, when you, as a child of God, when we first came to know the Lord, that joy that we have, right, that experience that we have, nobody can take it away. Okay? The part that is going to really work on us, right, and stir in us, the whole journey, the whole walk, is actually the body of Christ. Remember, God is coming back for a bride. He's the head. We are all his body, made up of different members. Each member has different roles to play. But what God wants from us, it is that the body will be learning to submit to the authority of God. This is very important. If you are unable to submit to the authority of God, then Satan is winning the battle. You can do everything else right. Right? You can be having good knowledge of the doctrine of God. You know, you can be very knowledgeable, able to share. But if you do not submit to the authority of God, right, this is where you don't trust in the authority that God appointed. Right? Then you defeat the purpose in what you are doing. Now this authority of God is not just talking about it's all kinds. Let's go to Romans chapter 13, reading from verse 1 to 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resisted the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to the good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So, brothers and sisters, the rendering and subjecting to the authority that God has given, God has appointed, beside the ministry, right, what God is doing, right, even your local ministry, the people that you deal with, be it the authority, the government, be it in the church, be it in the family, the authority that God gave stands. Right? Because if we do not submit to that authority, you find that how do we put it? When we sin against the Lord, it's a conduct, you know, it's something that we ask God for forgiveness. Okay. But when you don't respect the authority, you're dealing with your attitude, right? And you're dealing with the basic principle of how God works. Okay? So if you do not recognize the authority of God and you have an attitude that is not right, Satan has no worry. Right? Okay? The problem is, are you a vessel that is fully submitted to God? The going against God's authority is actually your submission to God is going to be hindered. When God called us, okay, deep in Him is He wants you to live the life, right? Be able to do the work of God. But what is the work of God? In Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The crucifying with Christ is what we need to do. You want to do the work of God. You actually cannot do anything more than live the life of God. Right? That is the work of God that God wants to do in you. The other perspective of it is, when God says, when the Apostle Paul was saying, I actually do what God is working in me. The grace of God that was given to me is driving me to go forward and testify. Correct? It's driving him to reach out to the Gentiles, to reach out to the Jews, telling them that Jesus Christ is here, you know, and the message is here, and telling them to turn around from all their the traditions that they are in and the unbelief that they have, pointing towards Christ. I shared last week that our purpose here is to help to move God's work, to serve God, to push His ministry even bigger. That is our purpose here. And that is because God is moving us to do that. And it is because the grace of God is driving us. Then we end up serving Him, doing everything for Him. That is what we meant by, we are not saying that you don't do any work. I'm saying that you must start with your life and look at yourself where you are. We all know that God has done a great sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary. So I ask the question is, are you worthy of Him saving you? Remember? Okay? Now, if you love Him for what He has done for you, then you must really see the position, see the battle that we have, right? And see the warfare that we are fighting. At the local assembly, the warfare that we are fighting is within the church. And it is always given in many examples in the Gospels that schism, division, strife, backbitings are things that Satan will send to the affect us. So how is it that when we come to the Lord says that you have to pick up your cross and follow me? What does it mean that I have to pick up my cross and follow Him? It is because, as Galatians 2:20 says, your old man needs to be crucified. If you don't crucify it, forever, all the things that is going to eat into you, trouble you, and mess up your love for the Lord or your ability to come to the presence of God. Okay? We can be here, right? We can be looking at one another, but your mind can be drifting away. Right? So you are in control of your mind and your heart. How your attitude you should have is important. So respecting the authority and what God is doing is something that we must know. We go to Ezekiel chapter 28, where we take a look at how Satan, right, in the Ezekiel chapter 28, reading from verse 13 to 17. This is the fall of there's a king of Tyre, but is referencing the fall of Lucifer. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the oryx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy fabrics and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. When our heart lifts us up against the authority of God, against the holiness of God and God's presence, iniquity will come in. So, brothers and sisters, when God deals with us and God warns us against the enemy and the things that we face, don't think that, the word to use, don't play with fire. That means, if the things that is going to come, it always come as temptation, drawing away from you, from where you are, what you want to do. It is like this. If I determine today that every day from today onwards, when I wake up, the first thing I'm going to do is going to spend that first few moments with the Lord. Alright? Talking to the Lord and listening to Him and determined to spend the day with Him. How does that feel normally? Something will come up where it will distract you, tempt you away, take away your time, and you don't need time for God, right? So, the devil knows us better than we know ourselves, in the sense that the men are created flesh, with the weakness of the flesh, and the lust in us will cause us to go into temptation. Correct? So, the guarding against the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, you know, all those things, is things that you have to take seriously. This is something that we're going to hear, it's the same sermon I heard before, there's nothing new, correct? You're going to leave it alone. That's what the devil wants you to take the word of God lightly. So when we are fighting a battle, even Jesus Christ told the disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation, right? But deliver us from evil. Don't think you are strong enough to withstand the temptation and able to overcome it better than other people. You know what I mean? Right? It is the recognition of God's presence and the importance of living the role, the responsibility of the priesthood duty, living in holiness, in giving Him the honor that we must watch. If you don't guard against this, then the warfare is not warfare. Actually, Satan also don't need to fight. Right? He don't have to worry about you. Okay? So this is very important. Now, why we talk about the authority? Let me show you a case, an example, right, where this they challenge the authority of God. Okay? Paul. Right? When Paul was Saul, he was so capable, intelligent, and he thought he was a leader. Okay? And then when he actually go against all and wanted to catch all the children, when God struck him, he was actually going against God, going against everything God has done. And when God met him, he straight away changed. You know, in the Pharisees, the hierarchy, right? The rule, I'm a Pharisee, I'm a pure Benjamite, you know, I do this. It is very, very important. But when God touched him, okay, he didn't say that, why must I ask Ananias to pray for me? Can't you get somebody else? You know what I mean? Correct? When God touch you and actually convict you about breaking you down, crucify the old man that is in you, is to surrender to him and see that old self, right? We always get caught in our feelings and our actions that we hurt. And the problem with us is, when we are hurt, the memory is the one that is very hard to forget. That we can forgive, right? But that's not the way God works. It's the same, right? And when God hit that and worked on him, he never turned back. He just obeyed, okay? And followed whatever Ananias said. Why is it so? Do you know that the authority behind Ananias, it was God in control, correct? So we must recognize this. When there is a ministry, when there is an authority, don't take God out of the picture. The moment you think, I'm better than him, correct? I can do things better than him. Then that's where you will make the mistake. So I was listening to Brother Nice, right, in one of his sharing, and I was quite surprised, right, in his sharing, that over in Africa, same thing, okay? I'm the one that robbed the pastor to be baptized by Brother Nice, right? I'm better than the pastor. You know what I mean? They don't submit to authority, okay? Right? And that is exactly where Satan will cause a lot of strife, a lot of hurt. So he was sharing this case where some brother, he was going to this church to preach, and this brother heard all the bad things about Brother Nice, right? Okay. Then he took a stone and go to him and smash him on the cheek, and the tooth broke and was bleeding. But Brother Nice was saying that within that period when he was preaching, his mother was dumb for 40 years. Spoke. Okay? So when he realized it, right, the brother, he was become the interpreter for Brother Nice. Right? But Brother Nice wanted to finish the sermon, so the bleeding continued. He kept on preaching. Right? So, brothers and sisters, when God called an apostle by Brother Nice and have a ministry, right, God will vindicate his ministry. Correct? Right? Yeah. It's not for you to go and, you know, go against the minister or the authority of God. So you must understand the basic principle here is very important, that if that is true, then it applies downstream in all the other authority that God appointed. You know what I'm saying? Okay? And when we are walking in the Lord, the very thing that we must really know in each and every one of us is you have to know your part in the growth of the Lord, how you walk with him, and be very conscious of your role in the bride of Christ. In the local assembly, of course, we have believers, we have unbelievers, we have make believers, but the issue is that our life, when we are walking with the Lord, key to it is we do not want to cause a brother to stumble. You know what I mean? Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, It were better for him that a millstone were hang about his neck, and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offense. For it must needs be that offense come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life hot or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell. God here is saying that in this world, offense will always come. But for us, as a child of God, you have to guard against this being a stumbling block. And if you are not guarding it so well, it goes to the extent of saying that it is very subtle, right? That the things that haunt us and disturb us again. So I think the best example is me, right? So I was looking after my granddaughter, right? And I was carrying her, so she was doing the stacking box. Then my wife always warned me that, you know, the moment she play and mess up the place, pack it, right? Yeah, I said, yeah, I know, you know, right? Of course I know, right? Then next thing I know, I was carrying her, right? Then I had this bad habit of walking backwards without checking whether there's anything behind me, right? So I just did that. And the next thing I know, I step onto the boxes and I trip while holding her. So the first thing that came to my mind was her safety, that's all, right? But that place is my granddaughter's playground, right? It's the safest place of all places, right? Everything is locked out, protected, right? Yet I trip and I fell, right? And then I cut my hand because I broke the fall. To me, I don't know what happened because everything is reflexes, and I think the Lord's hand was on me. But my wife was looking at me and said, actually, my head was falling backwards towards the fan where the toy is. We have a plastic toy wall that blocks my granddaughter from accessing. So my head was actually falling there. Okay? So I cut my hand. Okay? So now, the lesson I can only say is that I was told, I know, I always say I know, but yet I forget. I never do. Correct? So it's the same here. I am repeating that when you recognize the authority of God, we have heard it many times, right? We hear it from many people, but don't be like me, right? You think you know until you get hurt like this. So, when I had this, I went to the emergency in Teng Fong for 5 stitches, right? So actually, we were trying to find out, where did I cut? The blood only oozed out from the cut on the floor, but we don't know where I cut, right? Okay, then the nurse was very straightforward to me. Don't use it. Don't move it. It needs to heal. You need 5 stitches to close it. Correct? Yeah. Okay. Okay. I know. All right. Not supposed to use it. I must take the antibiotic. I know. All right. Next thing I know, I went for my dressing. Come back. I say it's not healing well. Okay. All right. So now this is human, right? That's me. Yeah? I'm human. I tell you about myself. First, it didn't work. Okay, so I went to use my hand, indirectly, correct? I thought I'm not using that part, so it didn't heal. So it's either the food I eat, correct? You're not supposed to anyhow eat, right, when the wound is healing, correct? I also know, right? But anyway, that's the cause of it. Now I'm stuck with another 5 days antibiotic in another one. So brothers and sisters, the mind, right, okay, for myself is I have this weakness, okay? You can tell me, I say, I know, yes, but you never go in. That's human, huh? Okay? The moment you are being told again and again and again, that's it. You have shut it off. Okay? That's me, right? So I ask for forgiveness of my wife and I went to do it to me. But the thing is, it's the same. When God has to come and keep on telling you again and again, please, you know, watch the warfare that we are fighting. Right? Right? Please take onus is on you, right? To put an effort. Right? So if I give the excuse, I'm tired.
No, I don't have time.
I don't even have enough sleep. So much things to do, correct? Ah, never mind, you know. These are not important, you know. This is all the human flesh, right? So these are things that is going to eat into you. It's going to take a hold of you. So you must know. So why in the fellowship, in the book of Ephesians says that we must be compactly packed together, right? Helping one another. The body of Christ is a wall, right? That we're going to come together and help us fight against the devil, right? Okay? So how can you compactly come together to help one another? It is for you to be more conscious of the things of God, correct? And the importance of following God's word to walk in holiness, correct? And to help one another and uphold one another. How is God going to touch a brother's life or help a sister's life that is in need? Jesus said in the parable, right? Yeah, I pray for you, you know, you go in peace, may your stomach be full, and then you don't give any food, you don't give anything to help. When the means are with you, is that how it works? Each and every one of you, right, is a role model as the elder brother to set the example for the younger one. I like Joshua very much. She's a very good example. You can tell him that he will still do it. Okay. So it's the same. I can tell you again and again. I think this sermon is, anyone can talk about it and preach it, right? But are you going to listen and learn? You're no more as young as he is, right? Correct? You should learn. Right? What you can learn that I thank God for my little granddaughter is she's very good at she cannot talk, but she can express. So my injury is she will say, ayo, ayo. She will say that, right? But she cannot talk, okay? And this little girl know how to manipulate the grandfather, okay? Right? That is the same. Now, God is trying to build a relationship with you, right? Okay? So you are that little child that is growing up in his hands, right? But this is the family of God that we have. And we want to help one another, right? So the ability to watch that spiritual warfare and the ability to know that your mind and the confrontation always starts from there is something you must be very careful about and take it seriously. If you don't, it will eat into you. So anything that you do, ask yourself this question. If what I say did is going to help the brother, or it's going to make the situation worse. But that one is very important. Why? There are many things, correct, that we think we anticipate, correct? I know this person is like that. You know? I better think ahead of him. Alright? See, sure, you know, come back the same behavior, get the same problem. Don't do that, right, brothers and sisters? Okay? Don't do that, When you are standing in the position of how do I call it? It's not a position. When you're privileged, right, that God show you something, especially related to a brother and sister, right? Pray for the brother and sisters and see how you can help, right? Sometimes when you get involved, it doesn't help. You got to let God do it. I tell you, when God wants you to do it, you cannot sit still. Right? Okay? And that's how God works. So, I repeat again, the testimony from Brother Andrew is that you got two brothers who are they all came to him, you know, says, Pastor, you go and tell the other. Both of them are senior elder or deacons. You can tell the other one, it shouldn't like that, you know. You know what I mean? Like I don't think it's correct, you know. You know, I'm very troubled. Pastor, you do something, right? And for Brother Andrew, you're looking at them. This thing, the other brother comes in. Pastor Andrew, this brother also, you must go and tell him. Okay. So for Brother Andrew, it starts with a problem of A, say B no good. B say A no good. Everything the pastor must do. Right? And Brother Andrew went to the Lord. He says, Lord, You know, it's really something very difficult for me, right? He loved both brothers. And they have been pillars in the church. They have been so many years with him. And they are so, you know, I just don't know what to do. Right? And he committed a lot. Okay. Next thing, next Sunday, there was a visiting pastor. And when he preached, that's it. Both pastors, both brothers came back and said, Pastor, don't need really. The message was for me. So, you do it or God do it, which is better, right? Yeah. So what I'm saying is that we have good intent, you know. We want to help, we want to do something. But the moment you are trying to do something for God with your own reasoning and your own understanding, can I ask brothers and sisters that let's go down on our knees and pray and don't do it. Let God do it. You know what I mean? Why? Because this is a very important point, which I must say that if we are prayerful, right, and if we wait on the Lord, God will take control. If we try and do this, do that, then I'm presenting in the sense of when I reason, when I see a person, right, and when I say I know him for so many years, the same problem, the same behavior will come up. Then you're not being very fair to the brother, correct, or the sister. Okay, so you must know that every time we approach God, we ask God to forgive us. God has forgiven. But the problem is, sometimes the godly sorrow and repentance also disappear too fast. You know what I mean? Right? That means the words that we say and the feelings that we use to attach to it, you know, the Bible says, confess your sins and you'll be forgiven, right? Okay, lah. Confess it, yeah. Now, the sincerity, right? The thing that is in us. So if you see it seriously, then every child, when God starts the work in us, God will, right, continue to deal with us. The problem is, how long will it take and us to listen to Him and let Him do His work? So now, you know when Jesus was going again and again to the tabernacle and went to preach, he kept on telling all the Pharisees and Sadducees says that I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Right? They don't believe him. He healed the crippled so many years healed in front of them. They still don't believe him. In the sense that they think is the devil is in him, that's why he can heal. Right? And they every time he was there in the Sabbath day to share, he would do a miracle. Correct? So can you remember the woman, right? And he looked at all the priests, can I on the Sabbath day heal? They don't believe him. Correct? He said, my interpretation of the Bible is better than the God that is standing in front of them. Correct? So much so that he has to go to the stage of Lazarus. Correct? That was at his hometown. He died for 4 days in the cave. And everybody knows that. Okay, it's impossible he was stinging by then. Yeah? And God raised Lazarus up out and showed them. But they still don't believe him. You know what their conclusion? Let's kill him. Correct? Because he's getting too popular. Correct? So the point which I'm saying is that if ourselves or if we don't believe, you are hindering the hand of God dealing with you. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says in Ephesians, you can find, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Correct? Quench not the love of God that is dealing with you. So, when we, our mind and our old self reject the hand of God, the authority that God is doing. So, brothers and sisters, the moment you are, how do you put it? When someone tells you the word of God, be it a brother or sister sharing something, the moment you say, no, maybe it's an emotion, later the problem will come back again, right? You spurn the word of God. Don't do that, right? Huh? So this is very important because we must learn to live up our conscience to recognize the presence of God. That's why I requested, right? When we come to the fellowship, come spend time to pray and talk 5 minutes before we start, right? To give God an opportunity to connect with you so that you can hear from Him. Okay? I mean, this is something that we must learn. So when we are, when God is here, we will all stand up in reverence and listen to Him, right? When He talks. It's the same. When we are honoring God, you see that verse, when we give honor to authority, correct? We are actually giving God an opportunity to use you and work through you to help each other. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Because every child of God, every member, are faced with different trials, different challenges. But do you agree with me? Is there anything new or temptations that we have? Is there anything new that we don't know? Actually, if I tell you that because I'm lazy, right? I don't have time. Okay? Is it something new? Something nobody has had it before? No, correct? So temptations and trials and testings, the warfare we're fighting is known to us. The problem we have in the spiritual warfare is, how are you fighting it? Correct? So what does it take for you to fast and pray for somebody? Okay, you might not have the time, especially in our society, in the lifestyle that we have. Correct? Fine. Okay? Then I say, then you sacrifice your lunchtime for God. You need to fast a whole day, but you eat alone and you spend some time with God and you pray. Correct? If you can't, don't eat. I think we eat too much. Okay, we are too blessed. Correct? So, what I'm saying is that, where is your part? How much effort did you do to say, I want to draw closer to God? Okay? I think I'm very glad that when we overcome, we can come here and share the experience that we have learned. And then we also encourage one another. I'm not very good with testifying and testimony because most of the time I have a lot of setback and bad things that I have. I dare not tell you because I am one person that, how do I put it? If you give me a choice to do something or to I am an engineer by training, right? I'll do the engineering way or the army way, okay? Because if the problem is about getting something done, and these people in the way are actually, the problem, then don't give to them, like Gary or them, the problem will be done. That is the military way and the memory, but it doesn't work with God, correct? So the Bible says that when you come to God, the way up is down. Okay. Yeah. So I think the issue which most of us have is sometimes we want to do something for God. We think that it is a pride, but you really miss the God here. So remember the king that wanted to burn the incense. He actually went to the temple. God actually blessed him. He's doing so great, Jerusalem is good. But suddenly he just had this idea that, how come the burning of the incense, only the priest can do it? I'm a king, I can do it. Right? And he rushed into it, right? And God smite him with leprosy. Right? Then he know where he stands. It's the same when God called Moses, right? But Miriam and Aaron, you married the Ethiopian wife, right? They meant it as in the custom of the Jewish family. Of course, it's not correct, and all shouldn't do it. But you forgot that the man is actually called by God, right? Don't. Because of your familiarity, or your closeness, right, spurn, right, the gift of God and the apostolic ministry of God. Right? I mean, I don't want to quote him, but I know, I mean, the brother that shared with me, right, he was an apostle, but when the mother-in-law actually spurned against him, right, they thought she died. That's how God works. Don't play with God. You know what I mean? The authority of God and the seriousness of the judgment of God, I mean, you can fall, you can be weak, no problem. Right? But don't spurn the authority of God, and that principle is very serious, because you're not something. You know what I mean? And when God come and judge you, right, you're gone. Right? So, you remember the parable of the vineyard, right? And then the owner send workers, they kill them, send the son, they'll kill the son and they come to kill them, right? So that parable shows that when I send someone to the vineyard today, I give him the authority to go and take the reward from the vineyard, right? But if you spurn that authority, when the owner comes, what happens? It's judgment, that's it. It's too late. Huh? You will destroy it. So this is something that we have to be conscious, and we must take it seriously, that when you, the moment you don't fight the warfare against Satan in the right way, you lose out, right? And then you go back to your busyness, go back. You want a revival, right? How serious are you? Correct? Right? How much effort are you going to put in to have a closer walk with God? It is something that, how do I put it? I must thank God for Sister Cora and Brother Rolly, because when I look at both of them, and the other day we had dinner with them, and then we look at them, it is not easy, right? And for Brother Rolly to be able to find the scripture and able to quote the verses, wow, that is impressive. Why? Because Brother Rolly can see, correct? And how is it possible? It can only be possible when the family, right, come and help, you know, and then facilitate, be the voice, be the eyes for him. Isn't it right? It's the same here. Okay? Each and every one of us knows that we all, our pastor is going through this time, correct? So now you, all of you, correct, has a part to play. You got to come in and see how you can help. Right? How you can play your role to help everybody, you know, move forward. So this is something that we all must not let our guard down, and remind us constantly that when you recognize the authority of God, God appoint, they call it deputy authority, right? Ministers, okay, the governments to do their work. You don't go on the street and you see a policeman and you say, oh, this fellow, you know, right? I know him, this policeman, not even educated, but the moment he wear that uniform, correct? Does he have the authority? Yes, correct? Yeah, so that's what we are saying, right? So the word of God and the promises of God are all there, and Satan respect their authority. Okay? Remember then, I think Michael was disputing with Satan for the body of Moses? Right? You don't need to bring against him all the accusations. Oh, what you have done, you don't need. Just say the Lord rebuked it. Why? Because Lucifer was higher authority than him. Correct? So you must know where your position are in the hierarchy of the family of God, even in the family, right, and in the church, and respect that authority to learn to submit to authority and work within that boundary, because it is crucial. Okay? Yeah. I also would like to bring out the part about when we are doing the work of God, serving as a ministry, and when we come forward to help and to do the work, you must always remember the bigger picture rather than what you're doing. So it is important, right, in health and the administration to think of the big picture or to take into consideration what's the word to use? I always ask ask the Lord to give me the ability to be able to kind of discern the needs of the brother and the concern that the brother has before I make a decision that actually I disregard everything, actually just do it my way. You know what I'm saying? Because that is the tendency of the human way of doing things. Okay? Many times when you don't have the time, when you don't have the opportunities and the freedom to do things slowly, you will be very uptight, right? Okay? So there's a tendency of us doing something, hurting others without realizing it. So the spirit of discernment, God has given us His Holy Spirit, right? And that itself is really give us that wisdom to learn to be a bit more caring, a bit more listening. Okay? I mean, I always say that when a new believer come into the truth of God, into a local assembly, he will be wondering how I can learn for one another, correct, the other brothers and sisters, to see how to grow and build up my love for the Lord and serve. But do you realize that the different denominations, the different churches, they ended up doing a lot of things for God to keep the people and keep the people engaged, but not according to what God wants, correct? Do you think we should also be following them? We shouldn't, right? What is the difference between them and us? This is a church is a place where we come to God just like the Jew when they go to the temple. If they sin against the Lord, is to get right with God. Am I right? Right? Is to bring a sacrifice to come. Right? And the church is a place where you also, when you got right with God, they celebrate the sacrifice that the priest also had, and sometimes the feast of Jehovah, they also do that. It's where we encourage us one another, right, to help one another. I always feel that if the church is doing its ministry, it must do like the early church, the apostle days, where all the Gentile churches that Paul established, they were sending money to Jerusalem, correct? Because the Jews are, they don't even, you know, the Romans are ruling over them, and then they have so much problem. That effort, right, the help that we can do to reach out to another brand sisters in another area is what we are doing here. I mean, I'm thankful that our ministry is able. God bless us, and God uses us to reach out to the needs of the overseas brothers, right? So that effect of outreach is applied even to the growth of the individual. You know what I'm saying? That means if I can learn something from my experience with the Lord, I must help another younger brother or sister don't make the same mistake as me, right? Okay. So this is something that we must do, because in the local assembly, when you have the old men creating, or honestly old men, I mean, I shouldn't use the word, when Satan knows that this church is asking for a revival, okay, he will flood you with a lot of problems. Why? He will come against you and say, what revival you want? This fellow don't even walk right. Alright? Huh? It's as simple as that, right? What are you talking, you? Oh, sorry, that's a locus English. It means, what kind of nonsense are you talking about? You are trying to say you want a revival, but there's so many things not right. Actually, to be honest, right, if I go to God and God
start digging up all the dirty laundry about me. What are the things that I never do right? I say, susah. Correct? No. That's another Malay word to say, I'll be dead. Susah means I'm dead. I'm guilty. Correct? The reason why we are able to stand and say that, Lord, if I have, you know, the reason why we are able to come forth to the Lord is because of what the Lord has done on the cross of Calvary for us. I was looking at Abraham when he was praying for, I think he was in his early ministry and God was calling him. And then his father was suffering, his father was having a cancer, and he went to the Lord and prayed about him. Okay? What I liked about that testimony was he was talking about how he approached the Lord and cried unto the Lord, and the Lord comforted him by showing the woman's face of Christ. Okay? But that is what I meant by you must go to a stage where you really cry to the Lord and your heart is burdened to help someone, right? And God can use you. Why? Because if you have not reached that stage of that love and that care, right, in your your heart don't even burn for it, and you say, I want to do the work, then I think better not. Better go down on your knees and pray. You know what I'm saying? So, God is a God that is stirring in us, right? Working in all of us, telling us that you have to do your part. All of you have a role to play. Okay? When you fight the battle, it's better be serious. Satan is going to win. So we always go back to that basic of drawing nigh to God and how you want to do it. Then, when you start doing more and more of that, we go to 1 John. 1 John, yeah. 1 John, verse 1 to 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handed of the word of life. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, right? And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Here the book of John 1:1 clearly shared to us that as a child of God, your life mustn't be walking in darkness. Correct? You must walk in the light that God has given you. You mustn't have a life where you do not have fellowship with God and with His Holy Spirit. When we fellowship with one another, we truly treasure God's hand touching your life when we testify about Him, when we hear one another, you know, and we pray for one another to encourage one another to walk even closer to Him. Correct? So, this is exactly the light that God is talking about. He has given us this light. It's not to be put under the table or under the bed. It's to be a testimony to the people we come in contact with, right? To the lives that we have. And hidden in this, do you know that God is doing His work through us? Remember Jesus says that when you notice in the Old Testament, we have all the witchcraft, the idolatries, right? Okay? But in the New Testament, when our Lord came, Satan actually opened up the devils of hell, and all kinds of demon possession were brought towards him, and he has to cast them out, right? You don't see that in the Old Testament, right? Okay? Right? So, what we are saying is that the spiritual warfare is real, and Satan is actually coming against us, especially when we are not putting God first and not living the life right to let Him live through us, right, and reach out to the world. The Church of God has got this added role of helping to do God's work so that God can be glorified. You see the apostle in the early church, when the Holy Ghost came, okay, and the message was preached, a lot of people converted and believed. Okay? Why? Because the flame of God was burning and the Holy Spirit is in them. When they move, they actually willingly serve and give. Right? A lot of them sell all the properties. Right? I think they really give up all for God. So this is something which you must know, that when God moves and He touches you and move your heart, it is that love that He is actually pouring out to you, and it is the love that you have that will compel you to do the things that you want to do. You don't have to be prompted. You know what I'm saying? So that is what I meant by when we say our life, our light is going to shine or reach out, you know, it is because exactly that we must maintain that relationship with Him. Why? Because as the early church age goes, if you see the seven church ages, right, in Revelation chapter 1-3, all the things that is eaten in, coming in the church, is what we must fight against. You know what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? The book of Revelation is neither cold or hot, lukewarm. Correct? Okay? So this is what I hope that we can watch this spirit. But sadly to say, all the horses that is riding it, all the spirits are here at the end. It's not that I only see the face of number 7 one, right? Okay, so losing the first love, correct? Allowing the spirit of Nicolaitan to be there, you know, the kind of things, is all there. Right? So brothers and sisters, as much as the devil is attacking us with all those demons there, okay, correct? But for us, we are also have the Spirit of God in us, correct? With the same promises. Now is, let's correct our perspective, okay? That this warfare is not something that is for somebody else to face, but the devil is going to come harder at us the more we want to draw closer to Him. Okay? Yeah, praise the Lord. Now, maybe before we close, shall we stand? I'd like to sing the song, It Is Well With My Soul. But just that I couldn't find that number. Yes. Okay, the reason why I want to sing is that, brothers and sisters, whatever we are facing, whatever challenges that we are going through, let's look to the Lord. And this song is talking about your faith in the Lord and your love for the Lord, that He is well with my soul, right? And it is something that I want all of us to really sing with our hearts. 278. And know the support of assurance that God is there for us, we can overcome. Correct? So, remember that the Satan's attack is always like that, so we must watch. Don't go against the authority of God. Okay. When It is well, vessel, because you, Lord, you are there, you have done everything for us. All the sins that we have done, that is so big, but you have taken everything, Lord. Father, the grave is not what we look for. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for truly, Lord, thou art a comfort. Lord, this morning, oh God, this, we want to remember, Ragan, oh God, truly, Lord, you have given us, Lord, this ministry, and this outreach of His has gone out to all the world to reach out and help our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Lord, we know, Lord, your hand is on him. We want to stand by him, Lord, and do our part, standing in the gap, whichever way we know how, to help him, Lord, to comfort his heart in whatever way, Lord, that we can, Father, we put our lives before you, Lord, and ask of you to put a revival in each and every one of us. Show us, O God, to guard against all the enemy's attack, how that it will always come to attack the fellowship, O God, the brothers and sisters in this fellowship. Lord, why is Satan always coming against us? It's because of you, Lord. You have been guiding us and keeping us, and your truth is here. That is why he will never leave us alone. Lord, may we give us that humility, Lord, and the sensitiveness to your presence, O God, and your word, that we respect your authority, Lord, and we fight this warfare. It is real. Lord, may you give us, Lord, that awareness and that Holy Spirit guidance to put on the helmet, Lord, of salvation, and to claim the victory. Lord, may your Holy Spirit help us, Lord, to give us that sword of your word and truth. May your Holy Spirit pierce through our hearts, O God, and show us also the areas that is the wound and the hurt, and help us to remove it, O God. Help us to be able to put on your armor, the love of God, the forgiveness, Lord, for one another. Help us to have that care and concern, O God, to do our part, stirred in us, Lord, to draw closer to you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this morning, O God, and this little sharing. May you bless each and every one of my brothers and sisters here. Lord, truly, Lord, we give you all the praise and glory. I commit all of them to you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.